Welcome to another edition of After Hours. It was some day yesterday, wasn't it? I'm sure you've heard more than you need to about yesterday, and you'll hear more about it this week and for the rest of our lives. Terrible. It's an incredible change of pace. As I said I would, I am now having the one and only Candace Jordan on as a kind of regular, maybe every other week, maybe every week when there's something going on, because she really keeps her, takes the pulse of the city's entertainment and benefit scene. Candace, how are you? Welcome to the show again.
Thank you so much, Rick. Thanks for having me, and I'm excited to be a regular on your fabulous show. It's so exciting.
You're the only regular on this show. That's
Well, that's quite an honor. I accept it happily.
You were deeply involved last week with the whole NASCAR to-do, weren't you?
Well, you could say that.
You didn't drive.
I did not start out being a fan of NASCAR racing. I went to the race last year. I liked it. I thought it was exciting. There were some components that were spectacular. But this year, the race was even more exciting. I mean, they are really trying to be a great partner to the city of Chicago. And I'm not even talking just about the racing, which I thought was incredible. But what they have done for the city that a lot of people may not even be aware of is what really blew my skirt up. I mean, listen to this. A report from the city said that the event brought in over $108.9 million in economic activity, you know, from corporate spenders and tourists, and I mean, and they have been such incredible partners in the communities, donating to nonprofits. They spent $150,000 on local area hospitals, $50,000 to the Chicago Park District. They donated $100,000 to the YWCA. I mean, they have just really tried their best to embed themselves in the communities where, you know, help is obviously needed. We all need help here in Chicago. And they have been there to meet these needs. And so I have been wildly impressed by their support.
So you are an unequivocal fan of NASCAR being in Chicago. You want it back next year?
Yes, I am. I definitely want it back here. You know, and I understand that to date, $2 million for charities have been donated to Chicago for community initiatives. And listen to this. This was something else that struck me. When they announced that the race was coming to Chicago, their team members went out and participated in 300 community events.
You know, don't you think, Candace, you're a journalist, first and foremost.
Yep.
I find that aspect of NASCAR is wildly undercovered by the mainstream
press.
Why do you agree with you?
And I wrote a whole article on this because I thought, well, you know, everybody in the universe is, you know, writing about the race. What other angle can I do? And so since I do cover nonprofits, and I went to, there was a great event at Stake 48 that was hosted by Stake 48 for NASCAR, and that's where they, you know, donated the check for $100,000 to the Metropolitan YWCA. And I thought, God, you know, and then they mentioned about all the other charities that they've supported at this dinner, and I thought, nobody's written about that. So I feel very strongly that people should be aware of what they do, not only in the racing aspect, but, you know, in the neighborhoods and the communities and for our nonprofits.
Tell me, where can people find what you have written about it? Can they go to candidcandace.com?
where can't they find it?
Yeah, really. Except in the mainstream press.
Well, you know,
press.
I write it for chicagostarmedia.com,
mm-hmm.
and I write for my own website, candidcandace.com. I write for Crane Chicago Business. I have a podcast, and I'm on your incredible show, which is really the highlight where you could find all the news.
Well, I'm glad you are, because I have felt since they came here, it's always a, you know, I grew up in Old Town. I don't care about cars racing anywhere, frankly.
Right.
And
no,
I think
I became a fan just this year. I am a fan.
Give me an idea of the crowd as you saw it.
Well, you know, that's interesting. You should ask about the crowd, because here's what the downside was. There was they had 79,000 people, and they expected 100,000 people.
Okay, that's okay.
So the numbers were not as good as they were hoping for. And, you know, and another aspect of it, which I was a little sad about, is, you know, they had top drawer entertainment. They had Keith Urban there.
I
watched
You're
him.
Right.
He played his little heart out. And, you know, he had like a crowd of, it looked like a couple hundred people there. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, he's a huge star, and I thought he deserved a bigger crowd, but I don't know how they're going to fix that part of it. But he sure gave a performance like he was in front of a million people.
Well, once again, when I'm asking Candace Jordan, is what was the makeup as you saw it? What was the makeup of the crowd? Were there kids? Were there old people? Was it mostly white, black, mixed. What?
Yeah.
How would you characterize the nature of the crowd? Not so much the size of it, but the nature of it.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting question because, you know, I did go to some of these races when, you know, I grew up in Southern Illinois.
Sure,
and that
stock
car racing was really big down there. And it was basically, you know, a white person sport. And I'm telling you, this Chicago event, it was covered every aspect, every person, white, black, yellow, red, kids, old, not so many old, and I'll tell you why not so many really old, because, you know, there's a lot of walking involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chuck didn't go. I mean, he could have gone, but, you know, he's got
Chuck being Candace's wonderful husband.
Husband/bodyguard,
yeah.
But it's, you know, young to medium old, I would say, you know, but they provided all these free kids activities. Kids could climb inside these cars, you know, mock-ups that were on in Butler Field. They had, you know, free vendors there for, you know, you could go to this merchandise stores and they had big jumbotron screens where even if you weren't right in pit row like I was, or if you weren't in the skyline boxes, you could still see the race from everywhere you were in the park. I mean, they really went out of their way. They built more pedestrian bridges because last year they really had a problem with one bridge.
Sure.
Yeah, so that was, you know, rectified. But, you know, and the rain, they couldn't stop the rain. But I'll tell you something interesting. I spoke to the drivers last year and this year, and down to the one, they all said that they really enjoyed driving in the rain because it was different
and it was
a challenge. And, you know, those guys love challenges.
And obviously these race car drivers are taken with the city of Chicago and the track such as it is. It's vastly different than almost any other place they race.
Exactly, and they absolutely, you're so right. They love, first of all, they love the city. They love what the city offers as far as restaurants and, you know, the beauty of Chicago is nonpareil. And also, you know, all these guys are so cute. They're so sweet. They're little. Listen to this.
Go to the race to see all the cute drivers.
Like I've never seen before.
All the cute drivers.
Well, they're, of course, they're cute.
I am glad.
But listen to this.
Yes.
Okay, let me tell you about the presentation of the drivers, which I thought was one of the most dramatic things. So they had a stage built up, and they had Uniting Voices sang, you know, Josephine Lee's group of kids
that come and sing.
And they were awesome. Of course, Wayne Messmer sang the national anthem. And then when they introduced the drivers came out between these two things, and there was huge puffs of flame that went up on both sides of the stage with this fog. And then all these, and the drivers would come out one by one as they were introduced. It was so exciting. It was really something special. And they couldn't do that last year because the rain ruined it. But this year, you know, they did get that part in before it started to rain.
I'm glad to hear that because you're reporting from on the scene, and I could not get a grip of what it was all about from television. Sadly,
it was exciting, and you know, you see, you know, Michael Jordan's car there. I mean, and you see these drivers as they're getting ready, and you know, ramping up and deciding whether or not to put the slicks on when it started to rain, and all that psychology that goes behind it. If you get into it, it's really, really, I think, fascinating.
Well, you will be on weeks before the next one comes to Chicago to talk and.
Oh yeah. I'm sure that they're going to do a lot of things differently because every year they ramp it up and add so much more elements to it. I mean, like, it was night and day from last year to this year
You should send them this clip of us talking about it because I think you have you've given a full report. We got to take a little break, and I want to come back and talk to you about, we were going to talk maybe about Thirsty Ears, which is a classical music fest that I first wrote about some years ago when they started. But
I want to ask you about this.
But
then. Good.
I also want to talk to you about the Navy Pier celebrating its 108th birthday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and,
lots going on.
Candace Jordan and I will do that when we return in a couple minutes.
I'll be waiting.
Welcome back. It's Rick Kogan talking to the hardest working woman person in journalism, Candace Jordan. You can find her at ChicagoStar.com, CandidCandace.com. CandidCandace is a really good website, and you can find her at any event happening in Chicago. You went to the Lincoln Park Zoo Ball, which is one of the great, and another thing that is not covered in the way it used to be covered when we covered, and I'm talking we, meaning the mainstream press, when we covered big events. The Zoo Ball is one of the great evenings in Chicago, is it not?
It absolutely is. And you're right. There's, you know, we used to have people like Bill Zwecker, and we had Ann Gerber, and we had all these people. Yeah, me.
And
yeah,
you.
I've been around for a long time.
Yep.
But now, you know, it's down to one. Well, and Tom Gorman. He does a great job covering things. But, you know, the Zoo Ball was Friday night, and it was our 47th annual Zoo Ball. And, you know, we talked before about these nonprofits, you know, post-COVID, how they're doing. And I told you that, surprisingly, most of the events I attend are record breakers.
Yeah.
And this one is no exception. They raised $1.7 million. It was the largest grossing Zoo Ball event in history. And so, I mean, I give them such credit because, you know, every year they managed to draw the crowd. They had 600 people that attended. But, you know, they did something that was really different and cute this year, which I think they're going to keep. You know, last year it was torrential rains, and I mean to the point where there was lightning all over. It was kind of, you know, dangerous. So they moved everybody into the Pepper Wildlife Building because, you know, obviously it was a downpour.
And that's a
nice
space,
year they decided, instead of putting all the tables under one big tent, that they would scatter the tables in the various animal houses.
What a great idea.
It was brilliant. And I am telling you, you cannot imagine the joy of dining at a table next to sleeping chimpanzees. It was
It could only
magical.
Have been better. It could only have been better if they let the animals out to play with you and to and to eat with you folks at the tables.
Well, but, you know, how cute is that? And then there were some people that were in the lion house, so they were there with Jabari and, you know, whatever. There are only two cubs left now, sadly.
Right.
But, I mean, it was just an incredible idea that I'm sure they're going to keep. And it was a wonderful evening. It's black tie, except, you know, people can be creative with their black tie. It's not tried and, you know, stuck in the mud kind of a thing like that. It's a great. And then Maggie Speaks played afterwards in another big tent. I mean, and I was just so thrilled to see that it was a record breaker.
Well, I think, you know, we talked about this last time you were on, too, that what the whole COVID clampdown did is it sort of gave people a kind of withdrawal and made them eager to be back to that social scene. And, you know, if they didn't lose all their money in the stock market or someplace, they have money to give away in there. This is a very giving town. You know that is better than anybody.
You are so right. It's a very giving town. And, you know, Lincoln Park Zoo is the nation's only privately managed free zoo in the country.
Free. Yeah. That's the one thing you have
free.
To keep
the
saying.
The only one.
And that is, I mean, and it is entertained generations of Chicago people. It's always wonderful when they have that Halloween thing when the place is just jammed. I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, me too. And they have 3 million guests that go there every year. So all these funds raised will help keep the zoo free and open to all of us.
Well,
so
and you remember my old friend Kevin Bell, who was the president of Lincoln Park Zoo for many, many years until leaving for retiring and going to Florida and probably managing zoos down there. He doesn't. He's doing consulting work now, but I have great memories of the zoo. From childhood.
Do you know, I just absolutely loved Kevin Bell. And let me tell you a cute Kevin Bell story. So Chuck and I lived in a house in Old Town, and there we had a lot of bird activity. Actually, our yard was like a designated bird sanctuary. You had a little plaque, and, you know, you had to do some things. You had to have a water element, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, this bird landed in the backyard, and I took a picture of it. And I don't know what possessed me to do this. This guy, here he is, a big, huge honcho at the Lincoln Park Zoo, and I'm sending him a photo and asking him to identify this bird in my backyard like he's my next-door neighbor.
Well,
but, you know, he answered me immediately and told me what kind of bird it was.
Well, because,
I mean, that's the kind of how interested he was in the work he did.
But you must know that Kevin was and came to the zoo as the curator,
as a bird expert.
The curator of birds, the youngest curator in the history of Lincoln Park Zoo. So Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was there for 40-some years. The youngest curator in the history of the zoo. He would know, Candace, if you drew a picture of a bird, Kevin would be able to tell you what it was. There's no question. No question.
Well, I sure loved him, so he's got good friends.
I miss him, too. Now, Navy Pier is doing something. It's 108
years. It's a
years.
big deal. They're celebrating 108 years on Monday. It's their 108th birthday.
You know, you're a Chicagoan, and we both have to feel lucky Navy Pier is still around, because when Navy Pier
100%.
Navy Pier was down at the heels, there was a lot of talk about just chopping it off like a, you know, a bad piece of fruit from the city. And it came back. I mean, it came back, started to come back with Chicago Fest. And now it's the leading attraction in Chicago. Isn't that true?
Yeah, in the state. It's the leading attraction in the state. I mean, they attract, I don't know, millions, obviously, of visitors. But,
sure.
But, you know, the activations that they've got there now, they've got, you know, we talked the last time about a luminarium that's there. They've
yeah,
had that,
you love that
they
thing.
Had
the, you love
yeah,
that
and thing. They had the NASCAR Family Fest at the pier. I mean, they're doing so many things for the public that's just, you can't even keep track of it. But this event on Monday, the public's all welcome to come. It's going to start at 10 o'clock, and it's going to be near Flyover, that experience where you know, sit in a little thing and you fly over visually through the Chicago,
oh, yeah,
up and down through the buildings. And I haven't had a chance to take it yet. I get a little dizzy on rides, but I'm definitely going to try to do it. But so the first 108 guests that get there and line up, they'll be able to get a ticket to fly for free on Flyover.
And what else? I mean, obviously, they will have Eli's Cheesecake at the place, right?
Yes. Just going to mention that.
How can
yes,
it be a party? How can it be a party without Eli's Cheesecake?
It cannot be a party unless Eli's is there. So they're going to be there. There's going to be these free tickets. I'm sure there'll be a toast to the pier that people can participate in. And so it's going to start at 10 a.m. Monday, July 13th. And by the way, those flyover rides, they last about 30 minutes. So if you're there, jump on one and let me know how it is.
Are you going to be there? Aren't you?
I'm going to try
you
to
may
be
not,
there.
You're going to try to be there, but you're not going. You're not going on the flight, right?
Well, I am going to have to try the flight one of these days. I can't talk about it and not know what it's all about. So yes, I'm
sure
going to do it.
Sure, you can. That's the way most reporters operate. Just joking. Just joking. You are not one of those reporters. What else are you looking forward to? Is there anything new that you're? Of course, a celebration of 108th birthday of the pier is new.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, you mentioned about this event called Thirsty Ears, and
yeah,
you said you covered it. You know, it's their 9th annual event, and I had never heard of it before, so I must have missed your column. So you tell me what that festival's about.
That happens. It's a man named Seth Bousted, who is a composer and a lot of other things, determined that Chicago needed, you got a blues fest, you got a jazz fest, you got all sorts of other fests out there. And
mm-hmm.
He, an expert in classical music, determined that there was a need for a classical music festival. I think it started as just a one block little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote about it when he first found it. And you say 9 years ago, that sounds about right
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
And it just increases the variety of music mm-hmm. available in Chicago. And for many people, and this was what Seth, I mean, they don't know classical music. They probably,
mm-hmm.
many people, it's likely they've never heard classical music. And so he does it in a way where there's no pretension. There, you don't have to know anything. You're just going there and, you know, unless you're wearing earmuffs or something, you'll hear it. And it might,
yeah.
you know, enrich your life.
Yeah, well, you know, a line on their website, it's presented by Access Contemporary Music, which mm-hmm. is a nonprofit that your
yeah.
friend is the founder of.
Yeah,
and on their website, I thought this was funny, they said they wanted to change the image of classical music from dead European men in wigs. So, you know, and it's fun. It's got a craft beer. They'll have food trucks and obviously
oh, yeah.
performances.
Now, are
it's
you, are you
friendly
going?
And family friendly. It's free, so
it's,
that's
it start,
good.
It's in September, right?
Yep, September 7th and 8th, and it's on Wilson between Hermitage and Ravenswood.
Yeah, it's a great thing. Candace,
yeah.
it is an ongoing joy to have you part of the show. Your enthusiasm for everything and your enthusiasm for this city is overwhelming.
Well, bless your heart. Well, thank you for having me, Rick.
You'll
I love
be
being
back,
on your
honey.
Show, and right back at you.
All right, sweetheart. Say hi to Chuck.
Okay. I will. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
That was Candace Jordan, ladies and gentlemen. You can go to CandidCandace.com. You can find her on Twitter. You can just put in Candace Jordan. You know, you people know how to use computers.